I'm not looking at the camera. I know I'm on, but I'm not looking at the camera. I want to show how utterly unscripted this is. Hi, everybody. Welcome to my home. I'm Dennis Prager. Let me say that again. I'm Dennis Prager. And this is my fireside chat, which I have virtually every week. The only times I don't have it, it means I'm just not home at my fireside that week, because I do a lot of traveling, but I still try to do it because it's important to me and because it's a chance just to be, oh, can I say this, in your life in a totally real, well, I'm always real, but the really real, this is really, really, really real. Am I a little odd today?
That's real.
That's real. Yes, exactly. Anyway, great to be with you folks. Thank you for being with me. And I want to talk to you about nature. I always open up with some thoughts on something, and then I take your questions. So right now, we have seen what devastation was wrought by the Hurricane Harvey, and now Irma. You know, they now alternate, by the way. You probably don't know this. You're going to find this of interest. Those of you under, I would say, 40 don't know this. Which is most of you, right? Would you say that? Most people who watch this are probably under 30. So listen to this. When I was a kid, every hurricane, I wonder if you know this, every hurricane, I wonder if you guys know this. You do know this? Every hurricane was a female name. You didn't know that. You didn't know that, right? Exactly. But you're 29 and you're 27. That was probably the break right between those two. And you're 19. God, you were just born. And every hurricane was a female. And it was done in alphabetical order. So we're now up to I. So that means, you know, E is the fifth and so on. That's how it works. In order. I don't know when it started. Then the feminists, this is fascinating. Then I'll get into my nature thing. But this is truly telling. The feminists objected that all the hurricanes were named after females because that's not right. Only females are stormy. I'm serious. You can't make this stuff up. So they decided to now alternate. So that was Harvey. This is Irma. The next one, J, will be Joel, or whatever the J name is. And it was done because of the objection. It's not right that all these storms are named after women. So now it's 50-50. But here's the amazing thing. This is the reason that this is so important. Let's say all the storms had been named after males. The feminists would have objected just as strongly. What, only males are big, strong storms? A female can't be a big, strong storm too? You get it? It doesn't matter. It just, that is the non-rationality at the heart of feminist rhetoric. Everybody with a conscience that functions knows that men and women are equivalent worth. God created male and female in God's image, right? So it's the ends of issue, at least those of us who have a religious belief. And if you don't, you also could believe men and women are of equal value. I mean, it's so obvious that I don't even like to even say I believe it. It's like saying I believe murder is wrong. I mean, it's just so obvious that the sexes are, you know, human beings are human beings. But the idea that you can have only female storms, I don't find that troubling, or only male storms. Everything has to be 50-50. That was silly. Okay, now, here's a thought for you. So, my son, my older son, lives in South Florida, and sure enough, I was speaking to him today, and he's in his car with his family, headed all the way north up to Georgia, because there's a mandatory evacuation in South Florida. because Irma might be as devastating, God forbid, but it might happen, as Harvey. So I was talking about this on my radio show today. People don't realize that the human being has always been and will always be at war with nature. If nature wins, we lose, and that's the way it works. People have always understood this, except for the very, 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 very last few decades when nature worship has returned and a romanticization, that's the key, romanticizing nature. I never romanticized nature. I totally understood the wisest book ever written, the Bible, and saying that we have to conquer nature. That's God's instruction at the beginning. You rule over nature. This offends a lot of people who have college degrees, because at college you learn a lot of silly things. I say this with great sadness, but it's true. And one of them is that, you know, we're part of nature, for example. Well, physically we are part of nature, obviously. I'm not composed of anything differently materially than anything else is. We're all stellar dust, if you will. I understand that, but for humanity to thrive, we have to conquer nature. Cancer is natural. We fight cancer. We fight every disease. We are not friends with earthquakes. Now, maybe the seismic activity of the earth necessitates earthquakes, but it's not good for humans. We have to figure out how to live with earthquakes, or even if we could, I don't know, if we could prevent them. I don't think we could prevent them, so it's not even an issue. But in any event, my son is evacuating his home because of nature. He doesn't want to evacuate his home. But nature won. Nature wins these battles. In the hurricane versus human battle, hurricanes win. Now, they're winning less. When you look at how few people died, thank God, I mean, everyone is a tragedy, but when you think about it, it's an incredible thing how few people died with the staggering hurricane in Houston. But my bigger point is we are at war with nature. That's not a bad thing. We have to conquer nature. It doesn't mean that we abuse it. That doesn't mean that therefore you pollute rivers. That's not at war with nature. That's at war with yourself if you pollute deliberately. I mean, that's obvious. But otherwise, everything is natural that we fight, like disease. So I just wanted to think about that because of the romanticization of nature that takes place. Oh, when people say, oh, God is in trees. So I remember hearing that a lot, God is in trees. Well, God is everywhere, but the notion that nature is God, you know, like Mother Earth and Gaia and so on, you know, nature has no moral will, right? Cancer afflicts kind people just as readily as it afflicts terrible people. Humans build hospitals, nature doesn't. Humans take care of the weak. Nature destroys the weak. Right? Isn't the one of the rules of nature the survival of the fittest? Is that moral? That's the opposite of morality. So all I'm saying is don't romanticize nature. Enjoy mountains, take your hikes. Go on rivers and oceans. I love them. I love beautiful nature as much as anybody else, but I don't ever fool myself about its moral nature, because there isn't any. All right, guys? Mm-hmm. Time for your questions. Oh, yes, by the way, you know, all the PragerU videos are free, and it's only because people donate to make it possible. So it's very important. You know, I want to tell you something about that, okay, independent of PragerU. I have a lot of hobbies. One of them is photography. So I use certain photography websites to read reviews of new equipment, for example. And at the end, they will often say, you know, this is free, but I got to feed my family. and I run this website as a service, so please help me out. I always send them checks. I always make a donation. I don't like getting anything for free. It's a great habit not to take anything for free. So just a thought, if you enjoy the PragerU videos, that you might want to think about. So what do? They click on the donate link in the post. All right, here we go. Glenn, 47, Dallas. Dennis, how do you reconcile the Bible's time frame for man's existence with archaeology's determination that mankind is far older? Okay, so... I believe, actually, that the Bible is divinely inspired, and specifically the first five books of the Bible, I really do believe, are ultimately from God, what we Jews call the Torah. That's why I'm writing my biggest work of my life. It'll be about 500,000 words, containing the text included, so about 400,000 of my own words, to explain the first five books of the Bible. The first volume will be coming out in April to coincide with Passover and Easter. So I take this stuff very seriously, but I've never understood why people had to take, for example, 6 days of creation, literally, as 24-hour days. Because the Bible itself says that a day in God's eyes is like 1,000 years in man's eyes. And you can't have a day, in any event, 24-hour day before the sun, and the sun doesn't show up till the third day. I don't read the Bible to learn geology, and I don't study geology to know how to live. I study the Bible to learn how to live. That's what I will explain when my commentary comes out. So therefore, it's a non-issue to me. But by the way, if somebody wants to believe 6 days are literal, I never lose sleep over that. So people believe that. So what? It offends people that some people believe it's a literal day. Well, what is offensive about it? They reject science? They don't reject science. You know how many religious Catholics, Christians, and Jews are, for example, doctors? Scientists? My brother is an Orthodox Jew. He's a professor of medicine at Columbia University. Is he anti-science because he believes, as an Orthodox Jew? I mean, it's so absurd. But people have such caricatures of religious people. David in Las Vegas. Dennis, what's your take on anti-bullying programs? Good question. 1 minute. I have to enjoy this before I tell you. Okay, so, first I'll tell you my thoughts on bullying. When I was a kid, I was always taller than everybody else. You can't tell from my sitting, but I'm 6'4". I was 6'4", I think, already in high school. Anyway, I was taller than just about everybody. And so what I did was I, on occasion, beat up bullies. And I was kicked out of class, sometimes out of school for doing it. And I couldn't care less. I hate bullies. Simple as that. That's part one. Part two, I'm not a fan of the anti-bullying programs because they go way too far. You say something nasty, and I'm not for nasty things being said, but part of growing up is dealing with these issues. And the anti-bullying programs, I don't recall offhand, but I have reported on the radio where they just label anything unpleasant as bullying. And unpleasantness is part of life. And people need to learn to deal with it. But I'm very anti-bullies. I'm not sure the programs are good ideas. Maybe they are. Some might be. Brian, 20, from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dennis, how do you maintain such a consistent and impressive work ethic? Any advice for how I can fight my laziness? God, you asked the right guy. Wherefore, how do you know I have an impressive work ethic? You don't know. What is impressive is how much I get done. So here's the thing. I don't have an impressive work ethic. I wish I did. But I do get a lot done. To deny that would just be silly. I know that. I do a lot. But it's not as a result of an impressive work ethic. And I am inherently lazy, just like you, and like about 98.4% of the rest of humanity. Laziness is built in. That's the way most of us are. Some people are not. My producer, Alan Estrin, producer of my show, man who really, I really do hold founded Prager University. It was his idea, not mine. He has a work ethic. He, for example, goes to bed at 10:37 at night. I know this because I've called him at 10:38 and gotten no response. He is really, really disciplined. I am not like that. I play a lot. So I sort of adopted my father's outlook. My father would often say, I work hard and I play hard. That's, I think, so if you saw me at the computer, because there's so much interesting stuff on the computer. It's ridiculous. That's why I get more work done on the plane. No, I don't surf the internet on the plane. I just write. But I'll give you an example. Knowing that I'm lazy, this is what I did. I took on an immense amount of work, so I have no choice. It's not because of my work ethic. It's because of no choice. I owe a book on this date. I have to prepare a show every single day, well, at least 5 days a week. I have to write a column every single week. I have taken on so much work. I have worked around my laziness, knowing that the work ethic is never going to really come. I'm just going to have to work hard. And that's what works. So if you're lazy, take on a lot of work. And that solves the problem. Jim, 42. Oh, the only reason that I'm curious about the ages, there's no great significance to it. I'm just mentioning it. Port Orange, Florida. Where's Port Orange?
It is just south of Daytona Beach.
South of Daytona Beach. Hey, just this week, I got on Daytona Beach Radio. I think it's my 250th station or something like that. And so you can now hear me live every day. I'm on the Daytona Beach radio station. Dennis, do you believe hurricanes and other natural disasters are acts of God? No, I don't. I mean, everything is ultimately an act of God. If it weren't for God, we wouldn't be here. Nothing would be here. But did God will Harvey into Houston? That's not my theology. And again, by the way, if you believe that, it doesn't ruin my day, but I try to be rational, and I don't know what reason would suggest in that regard. Why would reason lead me to believe that God willed Harvey? If God willed Harvey, then God directly, specifically wills everything, and then you have the problem of free choice. If God wills it, does God will a drunk driver to hit your family? Some people say yes, and by the way, I respect them. I don't find that rationally convincing. It might, however, be emotionally appealing to believe that there is no disorder, to believe that there is no randomness, no luck, might be comforting for many. I believe in God, and I believe that there is luck. You're on a plane that was shot down, right? If you're at a theater in Paris and the terrorists come and shoot everybody up, blow up human beings, did God will every single person who was in that theater to be in that theater? I don't believe so, but I'm not going to argue with those who do believe it. Christine, 21. Forks of Salmon? You're kidding, correct?
It's a real place.
No. There is a city called Forks of Salmon?
Northern California.
Yep. Where?
That must be a burden to come from Forks of Salmon. Because every time we say it, people say, what?
It looks like it's between Eureka and Oregon.
Between Eureka, so it's that north, practically at the Oregon border.
Yeah.
Forks of Salmon.
Is it coastal or the same?
No, it's in the mountains and the woods.
It's in the mountains and the woods.
By the
but I don't understand it. What does Forks of Salmon mean? Maybe if it was Salmon on Forks. Okay, it doesn't matter.
It's actually,
do you have a favorite novel? If not, any novels that you particularly like? You got me in one of my weakest arenas. I realized at an early age I don't have the time to read fiction. And it bothers me because there's so much great fiction. I mean, there are novels I have loved. What novels did I love? I remember reading novels by Emile Zola. I liked the 19th century Europeans. Dostoevsky in Russia, Zola in France. They... when I read them in college, I was moved by them. But I'm not a fast reader, which may come as some consolation to those of you who are also not fast readers, but I'm not. If I were a fast reader, I would definitely have read more novels. Okay. All right. Trey, 17, from Arizona, did not want to say his city. Dennis, do you think the Republicans will ever have the guts to undo the left's damage? Whoa. Well, here's my answer. The issue is not guts. Often in life, the issue is guts, but the issue here is different. In order to undo damage, you have to recognize that the damage was done. That's what I don't think. I don't think half of the Republicans in America understand the damage the left has done. Not liberals. I always say this. I have no issue with liberals. I may not agree with them on everything, but liberals are liberals and left is left. The Democratic Party used to be liberal, is now left. The leftism has damaged everything it's touched. Look at the universities. Do you know I had on today on my show Brett Weinstein, the professor at, what was the name of that college was it Oregon, right? Where they had these terrible demonstrations screaming at him. They wanted a day when all the white professors and white students left the campus. This guy is quite leftist, this Professor Weinstein, who teaches
Evergreen
State College, right? He is a man of the left, completely. Not liberal, he's truly on the left, although I think he's a liberal. But doesn't matter, I'll have a dialogue part two with him. Anyway, he refused to leave the campus. Said, you're not gonna tell me I'm gonna leave because of my color, which is a liberal position. That color doesn't mean anything. So he's really, I will try to show him he's really not a leftist, he's a liberal. But in any event, I had him on and we were discussing what has happened to the non-science parts of colleges. And he said they've been ruined. They have simply been ruined. The English department, sociology, anthropology, not to mention gender studies, women's studies, black studies, they have been ruined. Now, there are some wonderful professors all over the place, I know that. And there are exceptions to this rule, but overwhelmingly they have been ruined. They indoctrinate, they don't teach. What the left has done to the university is now doing to the high school, indoctrination over education. What the left has done to the arts. There was a time when concepts such as excellence, beauty, were valued in the arts, but not since the left took over the arts. Now ugly is important. Not only ugly, but the almost the biggest point in art for the last 100 years, in avant-garde art, modern, contemporary art, and so on, is to offend the middle class. That's the biggest deal. So, for example, there's a vast amount of art that is scatological. Scatological is a fancy word for fecal matter, urine, in other words, what your body expels. So, for example, in Germany, there's a very famous sculpture, it won a big award, of a German policewoman. It's a lifelike, you could see it on it's called Petra. I believe it's called Petra, P-E-T-R-A. So you could see what I'm talking about. So some famous sculptor in Germany sculpted a female police officer. She's in her police uniform, but her buttocks is exposed, and she is kneeling and urinating, and even the puddle is sculpted. This has won big awards in Germany. You have the Museum of, the Orange County Museum of Art, where I live here in California, Southern California. There's a 28-foot sculpture of a dog, a Labrador retriever, lifting his leg and urinating on a wall in front of the museum. This is what the left has done to the arts. If it's disgusting, then it's beautiful. It's like an inversion. If it's beautiful, it's boring. Beauty bores these people. I mean, look, you know, people stand on ladders and they throw paint on canvas and it goes for millions of dollars. See the PragerU video on modern art. It's done by an artist. It's very, very powerful. It's one of the most widely viewed of all our videos. So they've ruined art. They've ruined education. They have ruined, what else is left in life? Oh, the media. The media are don't even, they no longer even pretend to present news objectively. Their task is to further their cause, which at this moment is to undo the election of Donald Trump as president. Whatever you think of Donald Trump is secondary to the point that I am making. So to get back to your question, you can't undo damage if you don't know how much damage has been done. One more example. The left has been fighting the Boy Scouts because until relatively recently, they did not accept openly gay scouts as scout leaders, for example. Which is a very complex question because it has nothing to do with being anti-gay. It has to do with sexual matters. Why don't we have a male as a scout leader for Girl Scouts? Why not? And the reason is that because males are sexually attracted to females, and we want to prevent the sexual tension or sex from taking place. So if the male is attracted to males, why isn't that a problem? Not a problem in general, just a problem just as male attracted to female scouts could be a problem. But you're not allowed to even discuss this, because the moment you raise this, you're homophobic and evil and so on. Anyway, they have really hurt the scouts. And I've asked for years, why doesn't the left make its own Boy Scouts? The Boy Scouts do great work in keeping boys out of trouble and building character. Why doesn't the left make a build character in boys movement? Because the left destroys rather than builds. It builds one thing, more government. That's a separate issue. Two more questions. Robert in Milwaukee. Dennis, what virtues should someone look for in a partner? Ooh, it's one of my favorite subjects. I love talking about relationships. So here's some quick answers. I could spend at least an hour on this with you. I assume we're talking about, just because of the numbers, we're talking about, if this is Robert, right, so he's looking, what should he look for in a woman, right? I mean, I assume that. By the way, it might even apply if he's looking for a man. I don't know. In this regard, it wouldn't be all that different. But we'll assume it's 97% of the population is heterosexual. That's the case here. Well, in no order of importance, because so many things are important. Values is obvious. If you don't share values, the relationship will self-destruct over time. No matter how much you love each other, enjoy each other, have great sex, if you have if you have conflicting values, that's a problem. That's why I don't think it's a wise idea. I get this question all the time. When a conservative and someone who loathes conservatives but loves the guy or loves the girl are dating, I it's not going to be an easy marriage. As wonderful, and they're all wonderful people. There are wonderful liberals, there are wonderful conservatives, I know that. But it's not a good idea. Now, if you're already married and you differ strongly on politics, I'd like you to stay together and love each other up and avoid politics. But if you're not already married, why would you want to bring that problem into your marriage? So anyway, all sorts of values, not just politics, obviously. Or, you know, just if you, what was it? Somebody told me he was dating a woman and she didn't have any problem with quote-unquote buying a dress for some weekend event and then returning it on Sunday or Monday because she said she didn't like it or whatever. But she would do that regularly. So she was really robbing from the department store or the boutique that she got her dress from. And it bothered him, and it should bother him. That's a values issue. But that's not enough. A good marriage is not made on good values alone. You can have good values and not be attracted to each other physically. That matters. You know why it matters? Because we're physical beings. If we were just spirits, then values would suffice. But we're not just spirits. We're also physical beings. But here's another thing that I you know what I now ask couples who come to me? Or just one of a couple? I never ask, do you love him or do you love her? I ask, do you enjoy each other? That's big. That's actually almost bigger than love. Because it's almost, I don't know how you wouldn't love somebody. You enjoy the person, you're attracted to the person, and you share values. It's pretty close to love, in my opinion. So that's the question I would always ask. And in the joy part, you would have to therefore perhaps rule out somebody that you have to walk on eggshells with. Do you guys use that phrase, walk on eggshells? It's still in English. That's a toughie. What is walking on eggshells? Where you are afraid that you might trigger an angry reaction if you say something. And finally, by the way, I do have on the internet, if you look up Prager questions to ask before you marry, something like that, I have about 8 questions every couple thinking of marrying should answer. Juan, 21, Brownsville, Texas. Dennis, how can I help my conservative friends understand that a religious society is as important to preserving freedom as is a limited government? Although, I spent a lot of time, I just did that this week for an hour on my radio show. Maybe you heard it and that's why, or maybe you didn't hear it. So, this country was founded on the belief that we get inalienable rights from the Creator. Nature doesn't give you rights. If there is no God, there are no inalienable rights. I don't care if you're an atheist, that's just a fact. Who's going to give you inalienable rights? Cells? Mitochondria? Evolution? I mean, what's going to give you, seriously? The concept, it's absurd. Nature doesn't give you rights. Something above nature, a moral God, gives you rights. That conservatives have been as secularly brainwashed as liberals. It's not an attack. It's just a description of reality. Not understanding how central God is to the American experiment. You know what's on the Liberty Bell? The Liberty Bell is the symbol of American liberty. Right? The most famous by far. There's one verse, and where is it from? The Bible. Not from Shakespeare, not from Plato, and they loved Shakespeare and they loved Plato. But it's from the Bible, because the founders understood the importance of the centrality of God. Because you can't have limited government with a small God. People have to feel ultimately responsible for their conduct. Somebody is going to judge them. So it's either going to be the government, the state, or God. So the more people feel morally accountable to God, the less police you need, the less of a big state you need. But it's going to take a long time to have people convinced of this. People have been taught that if you're intellectual, if you're smart, you're not religious. And everybody wants to think they're smart. It's been a very effective thing. As it happens, the wisest, certainly the wisest people I know, it's a combination of intelligence and insight, that's wisdom. Every single one has had some religious foundation. Well, all right then. It's great to be with you. And hopefully I'll see you next week. Don't forget, please, PragerU is worthy of your contribution. I appreciate it and enjoy our videos. And I'll see you next week from my home. I'm Dennis Prager.